Cause I got a sound mind, a lot insane. Come on! I ain't gonna preach too long. I ain't gonna take the service too far. My sermon this morning, hell to the no, no, no. Come on, come on. Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, to the no, no, no. Listen, Sister Elder, Sister Ruth, make sure that everybody get a seat. Come on, y'all. Sister Lily may go back in the kitchen, cause the winter gets too needy. I must fix my collard greens and cornbread rice. Chicken breast, oxtails on the side.
That's what I'm talking about.
Deacon Underwood, get my 50 ready, cause when it gets through, and he rides.
Come on!
Dr. West, count the money, coming back and tell us what you raised.
We ain't gonna find another deacon.
I got some people there looking for some blessings. First, God gotta get the praise.
Come on, y'all!
See, there's an old saying, when the praises go up, you get the blessing coming down. I got some people in the church, God Almighty, look at them, they mess around.
Hammer.
Come on, come on.
Woo.
Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, to the no, no, no. Listen, I got people in the church smoking weed, drinking whiskey, they drinking a lot of gin.
What you say?
I got the preacher with the night prayer means, all about can I hear the amen?
Come on!
Early Sunday morning, about a quarter and a half past ten.
Yeah!
I got some people, they coming off the street, God Almighty, look at them, they're strolling in.
They need help!
They land at the altar, they confess and send their sins.
Come on, wait!
Time is here Monday morning, they doing the same thing again.
Hypocrite, hypocrite!
Hell no!
Come on!
To the no, no, no! Out of school, talking about they don't wanna learn. Yet they're standing on the corner rolling blunts, talking about come on, let's turn.
Y'all better get back to school.
I got kids walking up and down the street, pants hanging down around their knees.
Pull them pants up.
Talk about that they're looking for a job. When I see them get a book, I say please.
Talk to them, but
see all they ever talk about, brag about who got the biggest and the baddest gun. Trying to see the copper with the rubber top. They drop the gun, they wanna run.
Put your gun down.
Now the sheriff got them locked up. They sitting in the county jail.
It's a shame.
I heard the mama, she was crying all night. She can't get no money for the bill.
Come on.
Now the man with the homeboy, cause they didn't put the money in the commissary.
His friend gone now.
He said you in the jail, brother man. You were sure headed for the cemetery.
Come on, wait.
See, there's an old saying that a hard head makes a soft behind. All you gotta do is let them talk mother to me.
That's what they gonna do, y'all.
Cause all you gotta do is get down on your knees.
Tell the Lord about it.
You tell God about it, and I guarantee he will never leave you alone.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is tell the devil, hell no, won't you leave me alone?
Devil leave.
Hell no.
Come on, wait.
Till the no, no, no.
Come on, come on.
Hell to the no. To the no, no, no.
Come on.
Hell, no, no.
To the no, no.
All right, there it was, man. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's the way of the world. Man, did y'all listen to the words of that song? Huh? A child is born with a heart and gold. The way of the world makes his heart turn cold. Boy, that, woo, boy, that's a powerful thing right there, ain't it? All right. Oh, man. Just had another thought through my brain. Oh, about what we're going to talk about. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Oh, man, I think I got a good one for you today. Oh, shucks, yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rittenhouse verdict of not guilty. We also going to talk a little bit about abortion. Yeah, we may get to the Florida governor and saying about companies cannot fire employees over the COVID mandate and so forth and so on. And of course, wherever else we may lead, road we may go down, as long as it leads us back to what we initially started talking about. You know what I'm saying? All right. But anyway, I can't stand saying that. I don't know why that came out. But anyway, welcome to the show. And as always, I encourage you to call in with your opinions, comments, or what have you. And together we'll work through some things and get a better understanding by others. And in some cases, just lead to agree to disagree, which is one of the craziest sayings that you could ever think of, but agree to disagree. So with all that said, let me tell you how you be a part of the show. First and easiest way is call me at 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you can hit me up on Facebook, Instagram. If you can you can text me, you can do that too. Any way you want to talk to me today, I'm here to listen, okay? Even after the show, you want to send me some stuff after the show, you want me to research, or, you know, to get another point across that you couldn't get across on the show, that's fine too. Hey, I read it all. I do. Now, I may not respond to it all because some of them may be just crazy, what I may consider crazy, so I may not respond, but usually I respond one way or another, whether I talk about it on the show or send you a personal message back, what have you. But those are all the ways you can participate on the show. And I do look forward to chopping it up with you a little bit. Yeah, because it's a great show, if I say so myself. All right, so let's get to it, man. Last week we had a big trial going on. The jury went into deliberations, and the verdict came back for Kyle Rittenhouse as not guilty on all charges. Ooh. Now, you know, I always say, instead of overreacting or reacting directly after something is done, or, you know, in case of a trial, the verdict is given, whether in you know what you think is fair or not, you should always go back and do a little research on it just to make sure that your thought process was valid or logical, okay? Let's put it that way, logical. All right, and not just go and read one, you know, your favorite newspaper, watch your favorite media outlet or what have you. You have to go through multiple sources and things, valid sources, okay? I would say valid, because some of them things out there, man, you read them and they would have you all out in space somewhere. So valid sources. And once you read and you start dissecting the different articles and videos you watch, you eventually will get the whole story. You know, then after your initial rush to judgment happens, you can go back and reevaluate and see if you still believe what you believe. Yeah, that's right. I like the way I said that. But anyway, regarding the Rittenhouse case, there were some interesting things that I came out of it with as far as the verdict. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that here before I open the phone lines, because I know a lot of people have their own opinions about what happened. And, of course, you expect that. You have those on one side of the division line and the divide line, and you have the other group on the other side of the divide line. And out of those groups, 20-30% aren't going to change their mind one way or the other. If you sit there and hit them in the head with all the facts, and they sit there and watch the whole thing go down, they still don't believe one thing or another. Okay? Now, let's get to the verdict before I go back up to the top, the front of the file. I mean, the trial. All right. So the verdict was not guilty. All right. And on the grounds basically of, you know, self-defense. He was protecting himself. All right. So, after going back and looking at some of more of the facts, as I told y'all before, I didn't watch any of the trial. I just didn't. I didn't want to. But going back and looking at the facts and stuff that were presented, to be fair to the jury that was selected, it was a fair verdict. It was self-defense. Technically, it was self-defense. Now, I know some of y'all don't want to hear that or what have you and feel he's, yeah, but it was self-defense. It was. He got hit in the head twice with a skateboard. You know. And you know, once I thought about that, I went to thinking a little bit more. I'm like, okay, so did he get hit in the head with the skateboard first? Or did that other guy throw the bag at him or told him he was going to kill him? And did that all play into his decision to fire his weapon? Yeah. That was something that came to mind. But either way, you know, being that he was attacked first, it was self-defense. Physically, it was self-defense. I'm just going to put that out there. Now, being that it was self-defense, now I say it was a, you know, that was the verdict. And I say, okay, that was fair. That was fair. I thought about a couple of other things as well after this whole thing was over, as in what message was sent with this verdict. Okay, what message was sent and who benefited the most from this verdict? Yeah, we know, all know Kyle Rittenhouse. Yeah, he got off. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Pending, you know, maybe a retrial or what have you. If I was the prosecutor, I would just leave it alone. I personally would, because the case that he did present was shabby. It was worse than the case that Marsha Clark presented against O.J. Simpson. It was just that bad. It was a horrible case. Some of his own witnesses derailed his case. So, yeah, that was bad. That was bad. That was bad. That was bad. But let's go on and get into some of the things I thought about. You know, and a lot has been said about the judge. You know, yeah, the judge. You know, that judge was something else. Oh, yeah, that judge was something else. And I think he set the tone early, way early, during pretrial hearing. Yeah, during the pretrial hearing, he said that. And see, here's something. This is why I tell you to go read it. Go do your own research. Because everything you kept, if you were to find on the internet in the beginning, was the judge said that the individuals, all right, that were the victims were not allowed because they be called loose robbers and arsonists. Okay, that's what just the main headline said. But if you went on to read further, it's okay. So what? No, they're not victims. No, they're arsonists. They're, but he said, if the evidence proves so. Okay. Now, which is something else we're gonna get into in a moment. But yeah. So the judge went on and said that. But his reasoning behind it, see, no one really knew why he said it besides what he said it. But in a later interview, the judge defended his decision to not allow the people who were shot to be called victims, because he said it was unfair to Rittenhouse. He said, how would you like to be put on trial for a crime, and the judge introduced the case to the jury by introducing you as the defendant and the person who's accusing you as the victim? He asked, is it so difficult to use the term complaining witness instead of prejudging what the jury is here to determine? Now, that's the way he explained it. Okay. I understand that statement that he meant right there. But when he failed to realize, he was doing the same thing that he said he didn't want the prosecution doing. He was doing the same thing. Subliminally, you know, telling the juror they aren't victims. They aren't victims. You know, people, we are simple-minded when it comes to some things. And only thing you're going to hear is not the victim, arsonists, looters, Yeah. And Riders. Okay? That's what you're going to hear. So, although I understood what he was saying, okay, let's make this, let's give it a fair trial, okay? Cuter wanted to use the word victim. As I always say, words are important, especially in legal matters, okay? Victims, listen to what I'm saying now. Victims indicate that you basically, how can I put this? You were the a scepter of whatever happened. You had nothing to do with causing anything to happen. You were just a victim. You know, you were just innocently there, and it happened to you, basically, in most cases, okay? And the judge was like, yeah, but no. If the defense can actually prove that these individuals were involved in any of the looting, rioting, or arson fires that were going on during that time, then yes, they can be categorized in one of those three categories, labels. Y'all know what I feel about labels. And that's what the judge said. It was fair, but I think at the same time, he kind of manipulated the situation in the same way he was trying not to let the prosecutor do. Okay, these are my opinions now, okay, with facts spread in, but these are my opinions. I know everyone is not going to agree. Some going to call me some names, and that's fine, too. If your brain is that smart, then, hey, call me what you want to. Yeah, so I think that set the tone immediately. I really do. I really do that set the tone immediately. Let's see what else. As far as who did it benefit? Who did it benefit? I'm trying to go through it quickly so I can take y'all calls because I see y'all firing up right about now. It was a win for the Second Amendment. For those that believe in the Second Amendment, it was a win for the NRA. It was a win for the NRA. You had this young man that spent half his time in Illinois, the other half in Kenosha where the incident happened. See, that's another part of the story that wasn't really told. He spent half the time with one parent and half the time with the other, okay? So basically, he was a citizen of Kenosha as well. The only thing we kept hearing was he crossed state lines from Illinois. But he had parents that lived in both cities. In both states, okay? So let's go and clear that up. But anyway, it was a win for the Second Amendment. It was. That if you go and purchase a weapon, even if it's an AR, you know, I don't know why they make so much of an AR, if it them some raggedy, anyway. I regress on that. you know, you carry it legally, and in the laws, under the law, if you use it in defense of your life, you're okay. You're okay. You're good. You're good. And that's a win for the Second Amendment, especially with all the nonsense going on. And you hear the scuttlebutt all the time about somebody want to take your weapons and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we all know logically they would never get all the weapons. We know logically everybody don't get weapons legally. Everybody don't use weapons legally. Okay? Let's be honest about that. But in the overall picture, this was a win for the Second Amendment. It was. It was a win for the Second Amendment. But here's something that I thought about that really, really stood out. It was an article I read, well, a few articles I read, where former President Trump said basically that if he had his chance, his choice, he would shoot the protesters and stuff. Of course, they use Antifa, you know, but basically anybody involved in the BLM movement protests, you know, he would shoot them. He would shoot. Now, That leaves a whole area of gray right there, you know, because everything usually is taken out of context or said out of context. So the question is, was he speaking of the ones that were actually committing the crimes, doing, or was he talking about anybody who bucked the system and decided to protest? And that is the other thing. This happened during a protest, a BLM, Black Lives Matter protest, at night. At night. Now, why am I emphasizing at night? Because usually when violence and all that craziness jump off, it's late at night. When the majority of those that are there to actually protest peacefully are gone. And then you have the night riders to come in. That's what I call them, the night riders. Because the night riders are the ones come in and, hey, we finna destroy some stuff just because. It's not, they're not going to get the blame one way or another. It's not going to go against the Black Lives Matter protest. So, what was the message? If you participate in Black Lives Matter protest and you're in the wrong spot at the wrong time, you can have your life taken. And it will be legally acceptable in most instances. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've seen people, you know, say, well, Trayvon Martin, you know, that was another instance, blah, blah, blah. Yes and no. Yes and no. But this is, this here, this verdict here was really more important to some. It really was, and detrimental to others. And also, you know, like everybody do, when you have people who's wanted, first thing they want to do is go and look up their criminal history. Okay, so all three of these individuals were felons. Okay, they were felons for different things. You know, Candace Owens out there on Twitter talking about Rosenbaum, you know, if he would be alive, he'd be out there molesting children or whatever. She doesn't know the situation of that man's case. But that's how easy it is to jump to conclusions by listening to what they consider themselves as an influencer that's just there to run their mouth, basically, hot air. Yeah. Yeah. So when you think of this whole case and some of the things that went on, yeah, you really can't argue with the verdict. You can't. You can't, because technically he was defending himself. Technically, he did live in the city of Kenosha. Basically gave him, which made me wonder, what was his real intent when he went down there? Yeah, to defend, but what was his real intent? You know, I think the prosecutor did prosecution did a really poor job of trying to get to that, because you could tell he was well coached now. When they put him on the stand, he was well coached. So you needed somebody to get under his skin, and the prosecutor just wasn't good at it. Heck, I know some women that get him on the prosecutor and break him down. But then again, that's why you have a trial, right? Now, the other thing, as I like to often say, you know, we got one side, but the other side we will never have is those other two individuals that died. We will never have their side of the story. You know, and why did the other clown have a weapon as well? And why would you take it and point it at someone? Well, you see, they're holding a rifle. That makes no sense either. So you have a whole bunch going on in this scenario that people kind of overlooked. But when you put the whole puzzle together, the verdict is logical. It is. It's logical. Given all the facts that were presented and how the prosecutor didn't prove a reasonable shadow of doubt that the guy was defending himself. I know some of you upset that I'm saying, I'm supposed to be rah, rah, rah. Yeah, but I just got to call it like I see it.
I really do. I mean, it's logical. So that's another one down. They have their victories. I'm sure the Republican Party is going to run with it as much as they can. As far as the judge, I know a lot of people wonder, well, what was the judge? Well, the last known political affiliation the judge had was back in the 70s, and that was Democrat. He was put in office on the bench by a Democratic governor. So that kills the thought of, now he's a Republican, he's a Trumpster. Well, that basically that has nothing to do with none of it right at this moment. And you know what this is? And I say it all the time, and basically this is an example of what I'm talking about. Nobody knows what that judge's affiliation is except for him. Okay, he's the only one who knows. Using that, you have to go back and look and see, okay, what was his decision? Yeah, some of them things, you know, decisions he made were kind of odd, to say the least. But he did have his reasoning. He did. Everybody got upset because he let Rittenhouse, you know, pick his jurors out of the hat. But he said, I do it because an incident that I had in a case I tried in Racine. I think it was a murder case, but I'm not sure. And there was a black defendant, and there were 13 jurors. One of them was black, and when the clerk, the government official drew the name out of the tumbler, it was a black, the only black. Since that time, he said he only allows the defendants to select alternate jurors so they feel better. He said, we talk about optics nowadays. That was a bad optic, I thought. I think people feel better when they have control. Yeah. You know, and also in this article, he went on to say that, you know, next time he won't have any cameras or anything in his courtroom. So that was some of the judge's reasoning why he made some of the rulings that he did. And after reading and researching, hey, I'm with him on it. I'm with him. So if any of you get in trouble out there and you hire your attorney, you make sure they're on top of their game. Because they're going to have to be. Legal terms and interpretations and intent, all that matters in the trial. It really does. And if your attorney is not smart enough to push intent or to protect your intent, then, hey, if it's left up to strangers, it's left up to strangers. It's a crapshoot. But, okay, that's enough about that right now. So I'm taking your calls. Line 347-838-8622. Tell me what you thought about the verdict itself or what I've said, anything I've said about it, and we can ride with that. All right? So let's get to it. All right. Let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here? And talk to me.
What's going on there, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Once again.
Who am I talking to?
Pretty good. Well, you know, these are suckers. Oh, all facts. What's going on with it, man?
It's
all facts. What's going on? All facts.
Oh,
all
okay.
Facts.
All right. What's up, man? You sound far away. You don't sound the same for some reason.
Oh, I sound far away now? I sound better now?
Yeah, you sound better now.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
All right.
Well, first of all, you know, we were in the military. They tell us, well, hi, everybody. Mr. Talk's audience, wonderful. My name is Alfred. We go way back. But Mr. Talk, listening to you, I mean, hey, the case is what it is. Not guilty, not guilty.
Right.
But these are the things that I want to talk about. In the military, they taught us to pay attention to detail and stay alive. And listening to you, I paid attention to detail real good. When the judge cited his first case about allowing the juror or the alternate juror, I don't know, a juror being selected by the defense, he allowed a bailiff to do the drawing. In this one, he did not do the same thing. He allowed the defendant, the actual defendant, to touch a piece of paper or to do the drawing.
Okay.
You don't supposed to do that, in my opinion.
Okay.
That, you should keep it as though if it's going to be a drawing, it's going to be a lottery. Do not allow the defendant to put his hands in, quote unquote, to me, that's like evidence. To me, that's a sensitive item. You don't allow him to do that. You have the judge or you have a court appointed or someone who works for the government to actually do the drawing because that's non-biased. They're supposed to be non-biased and non-presidential anyway, especially a bailiff. And I'm just saying him knowing that someone from the court actually did it in that way and allowing this time in this situation to allow the defendant to actually pull in, I think that was a little biased. Okay, I was thinking he was trying to say, well, you know what, hey, he may have prayed or he may have his lucky rabbit's foot. He may have his fingers crossed and he may luck up and pick the right juror because it only took one to even give a hung jury. I don't think he's – so I thought he was a little biased in that frame. So when he says – when he referred to that first case, usually when they set or refer to a case as precedent, they do the same thing. They don't try to alter and play games with that. So that was a little biased. Another thing about it is, listen, I was wrong. According to the courts, they said that he had a legal gun. He didn't come from one state to another state with a gun. So that's where I'm corrected at. Now, having said that, it still goes to the situation, and I think the prosecution gives a very good point. Because when you have a law here, people will use this case as a precedent to get away with murder in the future. Because they're saying if someone is going to be aggressor of a situation, then that aggressor can also defend their life and cause self-defense. No, but before we even had guns and stuff, we know instigators and troublemakers can't cry self-defense. That's like the perpetrator crying victim. Just real quick, if I invite someone over my house in a southern state, they have a right to curry. I don't know. Right to concern can do. So we have a little disagreement. I allow in my house. We get in the disagreement. I call the police. Say this guy is not going to move while the police is coming. This is guy getting aggressive. I'm telling him he must leave even before the police. I have every right. And under the Constitution, every right to defend my house. I physically try to get him out of my house. He says, since I physically try to get him out of my house, he had to get his gun and kill me. Now, all this is on my video camera.
Mm-hmm.
He can say he felt in fear of his life and get away with murder.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what Rosenbaum did. He put himself in a situation, a young child, put himself in that situation where it was chaos, open air, someone's going to shoot him, and he was willing to use that gun. He was just waiting for something, and he was an instigator. I'm just saying, I don't care, right, and I'm done after this. Right now, people are getting a little anxious because at the Ahmaud Arbery closing arguments, people are walking around with loaded guns. I don't know if they're black African-American, but people are walking around the court in Georgia with loaded guns walking the street, and that's intimidating. Most countries don't have ordinary citizens walking around with machine-like guns, not in China, not in Europe, not in India. This is America's the only place that can happen. Well, not the only place, one of the very few places on this planet Earth that can happen. And I'm letting you know whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, whether they're there for the right, the ordinary citizens are allowed to bring guns with bullets in a regular, ordinary downtown city and it's for the law. I'm letting in today's society, not talking about 1800s, 1700s, 1600s, well, not even the 1600s, early 1900s. It's a different society, brother. It's intimidating. The posture is threatening. That's all I want to say, Mr. Stark, so far.
All right. Well, thanks, man. And, you know, as I said before, that's why this that case right there, the Rittenhouse case, was a win for the Second Amendment and the NRA. You know, it basically say it can be done as long as you're within the law. It, you know, in Texas, you can carry, if you don't have any felonies or anything like that, you can carry without even a permit. You know? So, yeah. So that's just, it just sets a precedent, as you said before, for something else. Now, as far as Rittenhouse going looking for trouble, say he was, you know, feeling he was going to, you know, unload on whoever bothered him first or what have you, that's like I was saying before. It goes back to intent. The prosecution never proved this kid's intent. Because the Rittenhouse was coached very well when he got on that stand. Very well. Okay? So, and the intent that everybody was looking for just never came out. And he maintained that he was there to protect property in a city that he did live in. You understand? Yeah, he's 17. Yeah, did he lie about some things? Of course. You know, about being a paramedic and a few other things. But overall, they never could have proven intent. That there was a shadow of doubt that he definitely went there to kill someone. They never proved it. Now, we all know if you go down somewhere with a weapon, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're looking to do some harm to somebody. The first chance you get. You know, my father, may he rest in peace, told me something a long time ago. He said, because I used to ride with an axe handle in my car. Yeah. So y'all just don't know. I used to ride with an axe handle in my car and wouldn't hesitate to use it. And he saw it one day. I say, when I have to have in the business, you know, he say, you know, if you ride with a weapon, you're more likely to use a weapon. If you don't ride with a weapon, you're more likely to use your brain. And it took me some years to figure out what that man was talking about. But now, thinking about it, it makes a whole lot of sense. However, when it comes to the law and a trial, if they can't prove the intent, then it was a self-defense. Because he did get hit in the head twice with the skateboard. Now, let's be honest. Them skateboards aren't the softest things. So he did get hit in the head. Somebody tried to stomp him in the head. So, hey, that's self-defense right there. You know what I'm saying? And then he was threatened. One of the guys threatened to kill him if he ever caught him alone. So all intent was proven for the others, or even shown, but as far as Rittenhouse, there was never any intent proven. There never was. But thanks, all facts. Let me go on to get to the next caller, man. I'm going to put you in the queue, all right? All right. Let's see. Come on, P. Yankee. Talk to me. I know you got some stuff to say.
Hey, look. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. What you got for me?
Hearts of Fire is an American classic. That Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's the Way of the World is the name of the song, but okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an American classic. It's one of those songs. I tell you two others around that same time frame. One was Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. You remember the song in Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you had another one that people are starting to play now was House of the Rising Sun by the Animals. You ought to play that. That is a damn good song. And you should hear that organ player. He was sound so good that Ray Charles said, I got to have one of them.
Okay. Well, next time I do a show on music, I'll make sure I cover that. But what else you got to talk about?
Music
is
good music.
Well, yeah, I know this.
Well, you're talking about everything people were saying about Mr. Rittenhouse. And look at all the racism he faced, especially the news media. The news media has got completely out of control.
Mm-hmm.
They were the one that was propagating all those lies, saying he had an AK-47 and all those things about his mama driving him and one thing after the other. And then,
okay.
In fact, where a lot of the mess starts. Hell, Wisconsin's law, open carry. It says children over 12 and under 16 allowed to use rifles and shotguns under very limited supervised situation. And before that, it says the section applies only to a person under 18 of age who possesses or is armed with a rifle or shotgun. What he was doing, he wasn't, and it gives stipulations in cases it's legal because, you know, people used to saw those things off, those weapons off, especially the shotguns, and use them for the wrongful purposes. But let's talk about something else. You had a motorist that ran his car through a parade there in Wisconsin.
That's not what I'm talking about right now, Pianki.
Oh, no. Well, you pretty much
okay.
said everything about Kyle. Kyle Rittenhouse is a hero. And it wasn't necessary
okay.
for the NRA. It was for all American U.S. citizens who is protected by the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to call him a hero.
John Day.
I'm not going to call him a hero because I don't think he was a hero.
I take my hat off to John Jay and his helping to authorship the Bill of Rights was included the Second Amendment. You know, the Bill of Rights came after the Constitution was ratified. They took a chance, but everything worked out fine.
Yeah, for some anyway.
And the news media that lied to, like CBS, reporting him to be a murderer before the trial. Joe Biden calling him a white supremacist. People said he only showed up because it was a BLM, Black Lives Matter rally. Well, he said he agreed with Black Lives Matter. It's in the paper. You read that?
No. No, I didn't read nothing like
well,
that.
Well, it's in there. He said he agreed with he agreed with the premise of Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
And, you know,
all
another
right.
thing, this idea of where you got these companies that's firing people, like Norfolk, Virginia Police Department fired Officer William Kelly. It was Chip Fowler, the city manager, that did. The police chief is Larry Boone because he
okay.
donated $25 to his son. That's wrong,
okay.
man. I donated to his son, and I donated to Larry Kelly's son just last night.
Well, yeah, for you, that's not surprising, Pianki. It really isn't, but okay.
Millions of
all
others.
Right.
And thanks
well, let
Candy,
me come back to you because I got other callers I need to get in.
Thank the Candies for putting it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me bring in these other ones. I'll come back and put you in queue.
All right, I'll be here.
All right. All right, Lady 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here? What do you have for me?
Hello, Eric. Hello, Pianki. Hello.
Oh, it's the snowing bear, the snoring bear.
That's me.
Yeah, because you was cutting them last show. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh,
yeah, you were.
you're not the first show I've fallen asleep on.
Well, we know. It ain't first time you fell asleep on mine, so I understand.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I've forgotten.
Yeah, I know. You're old and decrepit. It happens.
Yes,
but anyway, tell me what you think.
I understand your concerns about the judge and his message saying that you shouldn't call them victims. And I didn't read a lot about it, but I did see the headline. Did he say that they shouldn't be called victims, but that they should be called protesters or rioters. What was the alternative that he wanted for victims?
Well, and that's what I was saying earlier. That's all you saw. But the rest of that was, as he explained it, and those are even more loaded terms than the word victim. He said, let the evidence show what it shows. In other words, what he was saying is, no, I'm not going to let you sit here and just call them victims, okay? No, they're not going to be that. They can be, listen to how I'm saying it now, they can be called looters. They can be called rioters. They can be called arsonists. If the evidence proves so, proves it.
Then
yes, you can use those terms. What he was saying is, no, I'm just not going to let you go through the whole trial calling them victims when they may not be victims. That was it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm agreeing with you in that. He didn't want to impose a confirmation bias on the jury. He didn't want them to be predisposed against Rittenhouse, which I think is a good thing.
Right.
But if he says you can call them looters, arsonists, and rioters, then he's also saying that these people, in a subliminal way, he's saying that the people that were shot, they deserve to get shot.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I think he should have, if you wanted to remain neutral. And, of course, he says if it's proven that they're rioters, looters, et cetera, but the case wasn't about proving them. It was about proving whether or not Rittenhouse was justified. I don't know if the prosecution or the defense took the time to say that the people who were shot were rioters, protesters, et cetera. I don't know. But at the very beginning of the case, if the judge is given that kind of admonition, I just think he should have said, don't call the victims. And the other people who were shot, call everybody people or a person. That, to me, is a neutral term that I don't think the prosecution nor the defense could object to.
Good point. Very good point. Yeah, good point. But what you just said is the whole, everything I said as far as, you know, calling them victims and all that. Well, heck, call everybody victims. Let the jury solve it, figure it out. But it is what it is, you know, that it showed, you know, the intent. And here's the other thing. You know how the defense attorneys always throw out that great word, you know, the criminal history of those other ones, you know, and they all were felons, so that played right into the wheelhouse. Now, is there any evidence or video showing them really, you know, destroying anything? I haven't been able to find any, read anything.
Then they would be presumed to be either a rioter or a looter or an arsonist. And if it hasn't been proven, that imagery is still in the minds of the jurors. That's why I say you should only use the term people. And by the way, all facts. I haven't spoken to all facts or heard all facts in a couple of years, maybe two or three. He sounds
good. Heard him? Yeah, you must have been out because he was on the show last week.
I mean, last week, I remember that. Yeah. But, I mean, prior to that, I wonder if he went back to college because he sounds like he went back to school.
Okay. Well, I'll let him answer that in a little while, but I got some more callers to bring in, all right?
I'm through.
All right. All right, let's go here. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hi, this is Miss Lady. I've been listening about 15 minutes. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing wonderful, Miss Lady. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
Listen, I haven't heard all facts in a minute. He says he has a show on Blog Talk Radio. Do you know what the name of his show is and when it's played?
I'll hook you up with him so he can tell you, okay?
Okay. Yeah. There's somebody else that was just asking about him on TRS.
Okay,
and
everybody.
So they said we missed.
Okay, all facts. You need to go to the chat room. Put your information in the chat room so I can relay it to these individuals.
I'm driving. I can't.
I got you, Miss Lady. I'll let you know. Okay, I will let you know.
Oh, okay.
All right.
No,
so,
listen. This
go
guy.
Ahead.
you know, hero. No, he's nobody's hero. Was he going down there to protect black people's property from getting trashed or destroyed? I mean, really, I mean, why would he be designated a hero by anybody? It's kind of astounding. I think what this shows is that there needs to be a change in their laws regarding open carry and, you know, maybe increase the age of people that can carry those type of weapons. And so I think that's on their state statutes. They need to change those.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And it did appear to turn into a case of self-defense for him, but he went down there wanting to be the big guy with his big weapon, and you're right. When you're looking for something, you'll find it more than likely, and it's really unfortunate that all this has happened. And I understand that the people that were killed, a couple of them weren't the nicest people in the world. So a lot of folks are saying I'm staying out of it because it's really, you know. I think it would be interesting. Was he ever part of any kind of white supremacist group? Had he ever – was there any
There was no mention of any that I can remember. I mean, there's no mention besides going to the paramedic thing or whatever. But go ahead.
So how did? So do you really believe? I mean, that was pretty slick for him to say he believed in Black Lives Matter. Did he say that when he was interviewed, or he must have been prompted to say that?
it could be.
Has he ever been to any Black Lives Matter protests or been involved in the organization on any level?
I don't know. I can't answer that, Miss Lady. Like I said, that's the question. Some of the questions the prosecutor should ask then. You know, I mean, but did it come down to? Because this was a Black Lives Matter protest, or would he have done that for any protest? We don't know because that question was never asked, you know? Because that would basically go towards intent or what have you.
What was he going down there with the weapon? What property was he?
That's another technicality. That's another technicality. He was a citizen of that city, you know, at least half the time or half the year. So what'd he do? You know, he was protecting property in his city. You know, there was things out there where he was wiping, supposedly cleaning graffiti and what have you. So, once again, if intent was not proven, then, you know, everything is a crapshoot. Everything is up in the air. Proven innocent,
especially in this case. I understand innocent until proven guilty. I understand about legal intent, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just posing questions. You know, because he's saying, I believe in Black Lives Matter. And I'm just saying, is anybody, his friends, anybody else? Oh, yes, he was involved. He's been to protests before. Oh, he supported Black Lives Matter. He's, you know, even in his college, his high school, you know, did he ever talk about Black Lives Matter in a positive way or at all in a negative way? That's what I'm just wondering.
I don't know. I may have to go and look for you, see if I can find some more on that. Just for you, Miss Lady. Just for you. But
He did have it. Somebody, he was being hit with a skateboard in his head.
Yeah.
That's the deadly weapon. So you know. But if he hadn't had the gun with him, he would have been hit in the head with the skateboard. So that's the open carry law problem.
But okay. You know, that's a very, very interesting point, but the question is, then the question comes: would he be alive today? Then, You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they wouldn't. Because they think he was assaulted because he had that big gun out, and he probably had a very, you know, so he probably wouldn't have been. Were other
Maybe
people
not.
Assaulted down there? That were,
I'm sure,
weren't carrying a big gun.
I'm sure there was a couple of assaults going on, but I don't think any to the effect
where
individuals lost their lives, especially in such a case like that.
Right. Because they probably thought he was coming down there to shoot them. So that's why they thought they were justified. So I'm saying if he probably hadn't taken that stance, and you know people get these big bad expressions on their face and emanating all this energy, and so they saw that and saw him, and with that, what kind of gun did he have again?
AR-15.
Oh, God. Now, whoever allowed him to have that weapon, his parents ought to be ashamed of themselves. They really should. There's another problem. Who does that?
Well, that's some parts of the country.
Are they out in a rural area where they have wolves and, you know, brown bears?
Uh-huh. Wisconsin, I really have no idea what kind of animals Wisconsin
God, these
has.
People are sick.
You know,
these people
yeah.
are sick. I'm telling you, this country's going down. Whatever glory days it used to have, I think it's pretty much over, really. It's just so dysfunctional and psychopathic, I tell you.
Yeah, there seems
it's
to be a joint belief in that from a lot of people. A lot of people. Okay, I got to bring somebody else in, Miss Lady, all right?
Okay.
But thank you for your opinion. I'm going to put you in the queue.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Area code 323. You're on the air. What you got for me?
Yes, sir. Greetings to you, Mr. Talk. This is Shabaka Sankore. I'm the executive producer of the podcast, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're doing a podcast tomorrow night, sir, and you should be able to see it up there because I did hit your chat room. And I said the matter of tomorrow night is the Eurocentric invasion of the black mind. Now, getting to your subject at hand, and I see you keep a very, very clean show, although ours is uncensored, so I'm going to keep my comments clean. First place,
thank you.
Kyle Rittenhouse belongs in jail. Okay. The judge in that case, the state of Wisconsin, needs to go on and disbar his ass, okay, because I don't know if that dude is senile, bigoted, biased, or a combination of all three. Rittenhouse knew what he was doing when he carried that weapon across state lines. Plus, he was only 17 years of age, and from what I understand, under the federal regulations, you got to be 18 years of age to own a firearm. And
okay, hold on for a minute. Hold on before I let you go any further. Hold on. Okay,
sure.
Number one, he did not carry the weapon across state lines. Somebody was holding the weapon for him. Yeah, someone was holding the weapon for him because he legally was not of age to do that. Okay?
Right.
So somebody else had the weapon and they brought it to him. So, no, he did not carry it across state lines. And also, being that the weapon was not a sawed-off weapon, okay, it was not against the law for him to be carrying it. That's why the one of the weapon charges had to be dropped. So, go ahead. I just had to clear it up real fast.
Oh, no. It's all good, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not the most brilliant so-and-so there is, man. You know, so I definitely appreciate the knowledge on that. But, however, I'm of the opinion, repeat, of the opinion, and we're going to be talking about this on my podcast, too, a little bit, along with our subject matter, is that he went there, in my opinion, to kill black people, preferably members of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, there's something about Black Lives Matter that I'm going to say, and I already said it on my podcast, and I'm taking my own responsibility for it. It's a 501c3 organization that George Soros owns, so it's not even black-owned, number one. Two is that when you read over their mission statement, they're worrying about LGBT, the alphabetized agenda, this crew, that crew, that crew. But one thing that is omitted is heterosexual black men. Now, with you being a black man and myself being a black man, we're the most hated, despised individuals on this planet and not in this country. The former heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali, had made the statement in 1974 when he was in Zaire, which is commonly known now as the Republic of the Congo. And he had stated that we and these other groups are not brothers, is because brothers do not take their brothers and hang them in trees and castrate them and put their private parts in their mouth. So therefore, the American ethos, when it comes in regard to the black male, we are looked at, this society of Western civilization does not view us of being the great scholars and the great engineers and the great navigators of what we are. They'll sit up there and tell you that some filthy, drunk, racist bastard by the name of Columbus discovered America, but we had circumnavigated the globe, you know, about 2,000 or 3,000 years before. Read up on a dude by the name of Abu Bakari, okay? Now, so what the fervor is open season on black males, and what's really is proving this premise is this kangaroo court that's going on in the state of Georgia in regard to the murder of Mr. Aubrey, in which he was murdered. Them dudes were intended to go kill him. Young man is out doing road work. From what I understand, that he was in high school and he was an athlete. So, of course, that's one of the things you do to keep yourself in shape is to do your road work. So the outhouse, okay, sits up there, puts on this great Academy Award performance, and sitting up there crying and all that garbage. Now, when you look at the photograph of him holding this weapon, he has plastic gloves on. Now, two questions. Was this here to remove his fingerprints from this weapon? Or was it to strengthen his grip to go out to aim and shoot? And I think what had happened was with him with his weapon saying he's going to protect property, and I find it kind of unusual of why he would travel across state lines to go protect somebody else's property when the property owner himself should have the adequate defense mechanisms to protect his own property. So that there goes down the toilet with me. I'm of the opinion is that his targets were black people is because the George Floyd situation that ticked off everybody as well as it should have. But what it is, they want us as black men to sit there to be effeminized. They want us there to sit there to be brutalized. And then to quote the words of another famous black man from the 1960s when he had emphasized his Second Amendment rights and advised the black community of Oakland, California, is that the police are in the black community. They're there to contain us. They're there to brutalize us, and they're there to murder us. So when this man, and I don't have to say his name, had emphasized the Second Amendment in California to protect black people, you know, from police brutalization, he was labeled a terrorist. And then a assemblyman by the name of Mulford in the year 1967 had introduced legislation into the California state legislature called the Gun Control Act of 1968. So the society of America, if not all Western civilization, wants black men to be unarmed, to be effeminized, to be incarcerated, to be on drugs, or let's just say just plain stupid. So articulate individuals such as yourself, myself, not patting myself on the back, or any black man that's trying to do something positive to upgrade the quality of life in a community, well, all of a sudden, guy, you're a black racist. Oh, we're all the same, and I will invite any Caucasian to come out here to this desert where I'm sitting at right now in the middle of Arizona, okay, about 6 months from now, because this is November, right? So let's say May. Better yet, let's say June 22nd, first day of summer. And I will prove to this Caucasoid in about 15, 20 minutes of how we are not the same, and the Caucasoid must leave his sunscreen at home, and please leave a note for me how to deal with your sunburn or what have you, because I'm not going to be inhumane and leave you out here like Rittenhouse or Shit in the House, I'm going to call him if I may, with his inhumane tactics going out here to go kill unarmed black people who are exercising their First Amendment right, protesting police brutality. So I'm not not going for this garbage. The judge belongs in jail. The district attorney, the defense attorney belongs in jail. And I very, very rarely agree with the district attorney, the one charging you with the crime. Okay, that whole thing in Wisconsin was a mockery. Now, getting to the Ahmaud, I'll turn it off. I already see that this lying-ass attorney, who too should be disbarred, that's representing these cluxes, okay, is trying to sit up there and say that Mr. Arbery posed a threat simply because he was out doing this road work. But do you know what I think, though, Mr. Talk? I mean, really? I think them two boys, man, were concerned that white woman might want to get next to Mr. Arbery. You know what I mean? You remember the old saying on the plantation system? If you don't screw me, I'm going to tell Master that you raped me. Look at a picture called Man Dingo that was made in a sex school called Los Angeles, California, where I grew up at.
Right.
No, for real, man. For real, for real. No, for
right.
real.
Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. Hold on, Shibaka. I need to open up the other lines, man.
Let
me go ahead and open up the other lines. All right, y'all. Everybody's lines going to be open at the same time. So let's get civil and one person at a time. Y'all know how I can shut you down. All right. So all lines are open. So go ahead and discuss. And I get in every now and then after I do a little researching. So go for it.
Well, how you doing? Once again, how you doing, Miss Lady? What's up? Wonderful. I just want to say a couple things. I just want to talk about this property for a minute. He says he lives somewhere to protect other people's property that's not his. Well, let's just talk about protecting our property. Let's give a couple scenarios real quick. If a woman comes over my house and starts busting my windows out, my house, busting my windows and my car windows, do I have a right to get a gun and put it to her head and do a citizen's arrest on her? No. If a customer leaves a business, goes outside, I didn't leave a business, takes a brick and busts up the store's window because the owner of the business did not give the customer proper service, does the owner have a right to get a gun and shoot or take a citizen's arrest and put the gun at the police is called? See, we go into the Constitution, and one thing, now if you want to talk about he had to defend his main property, which is his body, that's the number one property that you have. And the police cannot always come and protect your property. But in the Constitution, they say, the National Guard only comes to protect the property, the business property. They don't really get involved in the protest. The Army, that's what the Army and the National Guard is for, the Constitution. But then they want to say the citizens can do it. And then that's where we get blurred. Because they're saying a citizen's arrest, any old body can go and get another person. They don't have a badge. They're not officers. They can get out of there and they can make a citizen's arrest with a loaded gun. You mean to tell me in some states you're giving that a lot of authority to any untrained citizen? So why do we train our police officers? We train our police officers because when you encounter something like that, a conflict in your society, first of all, it's good to have a badge on so the citizens can know that the society gave this person a little bit of authority over you. And like people would say, well, you have to follow this. We do that. But we have to watch out what we do. In a more awkward case, I'm standing on topic, but another citizen's arrest. I'm done after this. I was in L.A. the first week in November. And I drove around, I stayed downtown. I met a buddy from the internet, Kenneth, for the first time. We watched the game together. But while I was driving downtown, I saw parts of Skid Row. 80% of Skid Row was black African-American people. But I saw a person, while I was at a light, take up two bricks, Mr. Talk, and he was pointing them like they were a gun. Boom, boom, boom. Of course we know he has a mental problem. I don't shun him. I felt sorry for him. But this country that we live in, someone like that is able to get a gun and go to any metropolitan city, especially down south, and stand out there with a loaded gun with a crazy mind like that. This is why this government and these states need to adjust their laws and realize that the Constitution, if you play it out in its entirety as of it is now, that's why you have to adjust it. I'm done. It's an ever-growing thing. You can't have that in this type of society. A 14 and 17-year-old, 16, 15, in some of these states now with these games and all your, they're going to be able to hold a gun just like they did in the 18 and 1700s when they had to guard their farms. It's a little bit different. So that's all I'm saying. People have to watch out. When he went there to go to protect property, he was saying he was willing to put a bullet in someone's head because someone busts a store window. I'm saying if you're going to do that, if someone busts up your car window, or you, I think that's a that's something that's off balance. That doesn't fit the crime. If someone busts your car window, you shouldn't kill them. They shouldn't be able to die off of that. If someone tries to kill you physically, then you should be able to physically do something to them. I think that's equal. I don't know. Some people say, well, if someone punches you in the mouth, you know, it's you should be able to punch them in the mouth and not get a gun and punch them in the mouth. But down south, you can do that. If you punch somebody in the mouth down south and they have a gun on you, no matter if they can punch you back, they can say, he hit me hard enough, I felt, and I'll, you know. So that's why everyone should keep their hands to themselves. So that's all I'm saying, Mr. Talk. It doesn't hit
well,
me about garden property in it. And the only thing I want to say is, if that's so, can you apply that in other situations like someone coming over your house, busting your window, or a customer, just one of customer busting a store window? Can, you know, someone put a, you know, shoot somebody for that? That's it. I know.
Okay.
I was wrong with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that, okay, the gentleman has a very good point. Oh, yes,
uh-huh.
Sir, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you finish first. Go ahead. And then we're going to bring Tianqi in. Go ahead.
Okay. Bianchi. Love it. Okay, well, anyway, but the person who's protecting this business, that's his livelihood. You know what I mean? And in some states, you know, they do allow the proprietors, you know, to have weapons on them as they're conducting their business, you know, prevent from armed robberies. But, however, a closed fist in some states can be viewed as a deadly weapon, depending on your qualifications, if you're martial artist, former boxer, or what have you. That's all I want to say in that one right there.
Okay, thank you. And basically that's what I was going to say. So, all right, good way of putting it. Go ahead, Pianki.
You know, I was going to say this. I think all facts made this remark, but only federal trials can make presidents, not local and not state. Another point, Wisconsin state constitution rules Wisconsin. It permits the cities to exist, like Kenosha. It permits villages and towns to exist. It permits the villages and towns and cities to have their own government, their own police force, and also it says that it has its own Second Amendment, which mimics that of the U.S. federal Second Amendment. The thing I like about it says you can have as many guns as you want to. Another point. The people that own those three car lots was Kyle Rittenhouse's cousins. And somebody, a group of thugs and heathens, had burnt up one the night before. It's only two of them, owners. So they needed some help, family help, in order to protect it. And, yes, you can use deadly force to protect your property. Didn't the Koreans do that when them thugs was trying to burn down their property during the L.A. riots? They were shooting back.
Me, I was there at the L.A. riots. Those Koreans have burned down their own property.
Hey, man, ain't nobody talking to you.
Man, shut up, man. Like I said, you know, I'm being civil right here, okay? I don't
all
care
right,
if you're
Mr.
talking to me or
Mr.
not.
Fact,
I was in
Mr.
Los
Mr.
Talk,
if I do that, you'd be getting bad at me.
No, I'll just kick you off the air like I done before and barge you from my show. But go ahead with your
no, nobody
man.
Come to your damn show. That's why you here trying to steal people.
No, we got a lot of people coming to the damn show, but you barred.
Do you carry a gun or can you?
Who, me? You talking about me, man? That's none of your damn business. Come F with me, man,
so.
And find out the hard way.
I thought
find
so.
Out the hard way. Come find
well,
out the hard way.
With this,
I'm sorry, Mr. Talk.
Well,
no, you
that,
ain't sorry.
That's with,
typical of you.
Well, Pionki, let's talk about what you're saying. And see, we have that a lot in our community, Pionki.
What's
many
that?
Many black people killing each other over material things and murder. Listen to what you're saying. I got you.
Well, you know, all facts. Hang on for a second.
Okay.
You don't have 2,813 blacks as of last Thursday shot by other blacks in 169 days with 366 murders.
Okay.
In Chicago.
And what were they over?
I don't know what they was
over.
You know, the funny thing about it, I don't know how they still. And, you know, the kids there got to wear bulletproof backpacks. And when they go to school, they have to either walk or run zigzag to prevent from being shot. Three
all right,
black women standing on the corner.
Hold on. That's speculation right there. Stop speculating.
Right.
They do. It's in the paper.
No.
But go ahead.
You had three black women standing on the corner praying for peace, right. And some fool came up and shot all three of them and killed them.
In Baltimore, we just had a woman just got killed in a church, and a 13-year-old girl just got shot 7 times, one in the head, right next to Gilmore Recreation Center where Freddie Gray. Listen, brother, I asked you a question. You just brought up the black crime rate, and I was trying to make a point, but I asked you, Pionki, why are they killing each other? And you
I think, you know what,
Alphax,
I'm going to tell you the truth. To answer your question.
This is my point.
Read Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, your
social engineer. No, this is my point. No, I don't talk about this. This is my point. You guys were talking about, listen to what you guys are saying. People are able to kill for their physical store property because that's their livelihood. Kill somebody. Take somebody's life because they busted up, and like the brother was saying, some of those Koreans burnt down their own stores because
yes,
of
sir,
the
they did.
Other situations. Hold up, brother, let me finish. Some,
yes,
not all Pionki, listen, some can be in the numbers, so I'm speaking logically. Some of those business owners burnt down their own stores and took advantage of the situation for insurance money, and they rebuilt Pionki. Okay.
Well, all facts. Let me say this. Let me talk about something.
One last thing.
Go ahead and get down.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Hold on. Wait a minute. Everybody step back. Everybody step back for a minute. All right. Now, see, and this is what I say a lot of times. You know, instead of having a conversation, we're going to try to prove which point is right. All right, who got the air going? I hear you. Yeah, in my ears.
Yeah, that was
but,
me. That was my cable.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, let's have the conversation. You know, there's both positives and negatives on both sides. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where we are today. We're too busy trying to prove which side is right, what is right, what is wrong, when we should be trying to figure out a reason for it and a way to stop it, period. You know,
yes,
as far
sir,
as this,
right.
as far as this gun thing, this country has been fighting over weapons for eons, centuries. So, I mean, why do you think it's going to change now? As far as the black on black, remember earlier the last show on PNK, I said it was white on white, and nobody, you know, hey, why you say that? It's the same thing. White people kill white people just as much as black people kill black people. However. You know, it's more emphasis on the black people. Why? Because it's easier to vilify that because
no,
of
it's because
music.
They disproportionately
would you listen,
do
would
it.
Would you listen to me? Disproportionately, whatever, it's done because most people that are not of the dark-skinned persuasion see that and watch the movies and Samuel Jacksons and the badasses on TV and figure every black person is like that who don't have a daily interaction with them.
So anytime something has that, the first word come out are thugs and hoodlums and whatever. And it shouldn't be that way. Everybody is human. And there's going to be good and bad times in both situations. But nobody wants to sit down and talk about how to stop it. Everybody wants to talk about, well, this happened, to prove that one is worse than the other. No, they both bad. They are both atrocious. All of it. But
well,
nobody.
Wait a minute.
All right. Now, and in this case of Rittenhouse, yeah, it was easy to say, yeah, he was. But the facts are the facts. The boy was defending himself. You know, if I get hit in the head a couple times with a big boy, yeah, I'm gonna come up with anything I got and try and hurt the guy back. I mean, that's just self survival. Let's be honest.
See,
this is what I'm saying. You have to look at it in a logical, non-violent, non-conformist way to understand what was going on. Yes, there were some subliminal messages sent with the verdict and with what the judge was saying. Yes, that was all part of it. But when you get to the bottom line and look at it, yeah, the guy was defending himself. All facts. Yes, if I have property and somebody's breaking windows and trying to come in through that broken window, yes, I'm going to put some rounds in them. I'm not going to play with them because I ain't got time for that. I'm too old for that. Okay? Now, I'm defending
right.
my property. That's my livelihood. Okay? Let me finish. This is my show. I shut y'all down. Now, hold up.
That's right.
All right? Hold up. All right. So, and basically what I'm saying is, yeah, that's my right to defend my property. It's just that simple.
Right.
You know, basic human behavior says if you feel harmed, you're going to defend yourself.
Right.
Now, I know there's some instances where you got the flight or fight. You know, and everybody's built different. I'm built to go to your behind because I'm not running from you. Run from no man.
Exactly.
So it is what it is. So
yeah.
when we look at certain things, we have to get from under the influence of what society tells us is right and wrong and look at the logical human way, human behavior
yeah.
way. And that's it.
Okay.
Hold on. Let Joe go ahead, Joe. Then I'm gonna bring P. Ross in. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Let me see. All facts you were talking about. You can't make a citizen's arrest because somebody's busting out your windows. Let's say somebody comes over to your house and busts your windshield. Well, I don't know what the laws are, but if somebody's busting in my windshield, let's say I go out there with a gun, I don't shoot, but I say halt. Stop. Don't do this anymore. Now, if the guy doesn't stop, okay, and he starts to run away, I would think, and I'm assuming this, correct me if I'm wrong, if I shot the guy as he's running away, that would be bad. However, if I don't shoot him, then
okay.
he and everybody else can come back and finish the job of not only busting out my windshield, but burning down my house.
Oh,
so
no,
I,
no, no, stop, stop.
So
stop, stop.
Wait, I haven't finished. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Okay,
right,
thanks.
So yeah,
the person there, I'm saying halt, stop, desist, whatever. They don't. Now, am I supposed to just, I can make a citizen's arrest, regardless of whether that's the legal title or not. If the person resists, okay, starts trying to fight me, I'm going to shoot him. I can't allow looters to do what they want to do, because if I do, then it's going to be a contagion throughout all of America. So I'm finished.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hold on, everybody. I got a caller need to come in that hasn't spoken. Okay, so let me bring P. Ross in, all right?
Okay.
And I look at my female points of view. All right, P, are you there? You with me?
Yeah, I'm here. How is everybody doing?
Hey, P.
Tired. You know, I've been sitting here listening to everybody, and, you know, everybody are making pretty valid points, because if he is Rittenhouse, his parents had dual custody, 50% in one state, 50% in another state. The law says that he is a resident of that state. Did he have permission to have that weapon according to those laws? Yes, he did. And as you were arguing, you know, the prosecution didn't do a very good job in proving what his intent was. The only thing that was shown was truly that he was defending himself. Now, as far as the white-on-white crime and the black-on-black crime, it doesn't matter. They're all human beings. And when you can dehumanize a person, like they were saying, you can't call them victims or you can't call them this, calling them a victim gives them a human nature, gives the jury the ability to see them as people. So when you can't see that, you know, when that's not displayed, when you displaying their records, their bad behavior, you know, their past or whatever, oh, yeah, they deserve to die. When you can make a person seem less than, then guess what? You're not concerned about that person because you're going to look at this teenage black boy who got his whole life ahead of him and say, oh, well, they was older than him. Those was adults. They knew what they was doing. You know, hey, they should, instead of saying that Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have been there with a gun, they saying, well, they shouldn't have been there. They was adults. They knew better. This is a teenager, you know, and don't make the best decisions. But being of a teenage mind, he did what he thought was right. Now, switch it over. A black youth in the same situation. I truly believe and the testament of this country in these courthouses, it wouldn't have turned out the same way. It wouldn't have came out the same way. And nobody can convince me that it would have. And that is the thing that nobody wants to deal with. So when we're talking about people protesting after the Rittenhouse verdict, that's part of the reason that they're protesting, because it is unequal and it is unfair. And I don't care what anybody says. Being a black man in this country, they do their best to dehumanize you. From the movie, from the commercial, to the media,
yes,
to the news, that is what they do, and that is what they always have done.
Yeah, say so, Mr. Tell.
Okay, no, can I get a response from Joe? Real quick.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Sparker. Then it's going to peak. Go ahead.
Okay, so me, Mr. Talk.
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right, yeah, because
you
kind of figured out a little bit. Okay,
the
sister was making a very, very valid point right there, where she says of how they dehumanized the black male, and as Dr. Frances Quest Wilson had wrote off in her writings, great scholar, is that it is the image of us as black men that the media projects, particularly with that cesspool called Hollywood, and on my podcast, I always give them my regards. Like I said, I grew up in Los Angeles. Now, Dr. Huey Percy Newton, when he tried to exercise the Second Amendment right to protect black people, to have them protecting themselves, he was labeled as a terrorist. The state of California changed the gun laws in California to this very day, why you cannot open carry in California because of the Black Panther Party. Not to mention the fact, J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover had came up with the counterintelligence program because he had made it be known that even with Martin Luther King, with the Civil Rights Movement, that the threat to the national security of the United States of America is the organization of black people. He did not say militants. He did not say integration. It's just the mere organization of black people was a threat to the United States. So therefore, as I say on my show, we welcome any coon, Tom, ass scratcher, what have you, to call in at 516-418-5996 tomorrow night. We'll be happy to have you. But it is the American ethos in regard to us as black men. They love our women. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what Black Friday was all about. But us as men, being men, they despise us, and we must quit killing ourselves. They always project the image of us killing ourselves. They got us socially engineered to kill ourselves, and Dr. Frances Quest Wilson has proved that in her great right knowledge and in her writing. When you look at these rap lyrics, NGR this, BI this, that, there, the other. But as Asada Shakur had said, that it is an excellent art form and it could be used in a positive way to uplift the quality of life of black people in the United States and in the whole diaspora, and it's up to us to take care of ourselves. Integration didn't work. Sorry to bust everybody's bubble.
Well, yes, I agree with myself.
I think Francis Tress Wilson was married to a white man, but I guess that's something I heard. Another point. You want to carry black men in St. Louis, open carry, downtown St. Louis, with all sorts of weapons, including crossbows. During the Ferguson riots, black men, along with oath keepers, protected property. It was on the rules and walking around the outside of them. So I don't know what it is in California, but in St. Louis, and it is different because these states are sovereign. What comes first, we the people, the sovereign state, then comes the federal government. And, Mr. Talk, I'm happy that you can pronounce Rittenhouse's name correctly and not use the S word to pronounce his name. That just is so childish.
Oh, Outhouse.
I'll see you guys.
Outhouse.
There we go. See what
okay.
I'm talking about? I'll see you next
right,
week,
on,
Mr.
Wait,
Talk.
Anyway, say it, Ross.
Okay, I wanted to respond to Alfax or whatever when he said that, they accept the black women. No, that's not true. They tolerate black women because any black woman, and I can tell you this from personal experience and other black women in professional black women who I have spoken to, whether they're in colleges as professors or CEOs of businesses. They have a hell of a fight getting to that place because society or the systematic racism that nobody wants to admit exists holds them back. The salaries are lower. They have a harder fight getting there. They always got to prove themselves, carry themselves. Watch how they dress. Watch how they talk. You know, watch what their personal affiliations are outside of the workplace in order to so-called reach that status quo. And let them come out their mouth and say something wrong or that doesn't agree with colonialism, you know, then they out of a job. They got to get a lawyer, you know, to fight because they stood up for what they believe in. We have a case right now in Gadsden County. The city manager right here in Florida, the city manager took the city commission to court. He was suing them in order to have the ability to hire more police officers. They got it's not a big city, but it definitely needs more than two cops in that city with all of the crime and the increase in crime. So they allowed him to hire a police chief, but they would not allow him to hire any more beat officers. And when he initiated the lawsuit in order to have the right to hire more police officers to protect the citizens, they fired him. They took away his contract. Okay? Now, half of the commission are black people, but the power is behind them. You see what I'm saying? You always you shouldn't be a black male or a black female and vote according to what the status quo thinks you ought to do. It's Simpson and most of Quincy, you know, is African American population. But you shouldn't have to be worried about what the governor is going to say or what somebody else is going to say because of your ethnicity or the ethnicity of the people in that city or the people in that community just because you want to hire more police officers. That makes no sense because the black community, just like any other community, they want their property protected.
they want their lives protected. They don't want nobody coming in holding up their store, you know, every other day or every other week, or shooting up their kids every other day or every other week. Put some cops, make police officers more visible in the area. But if you only got two or three, and Gadsden County has six municipalities, six whole cities, but you don't want to.
Well, if I may say.
See?
Okay, if I may say. That,
okay, well, can, hold on. Sorry, can I say something? Because my name was called, and I want to respond to Joe, Mr. Talk. Can I have just, I think I'll get this in 90 seconds.
Hold on, to Ross. Okay. Were you done, Ross?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, all facts. Then we bring Shabaka in. Go ahead.
Your volume was low, facts. Can you get closer to the mic?
Are you saying my volume is low? How can you hear me now? It's good now.
I can hear you fine.
Better.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, Ross, well, my show is Black African American Dialogue. I'm going to be, since Thursday is Thanksgiving, I'm going to come tomorrow at Tuesday night at 9, Eastern Standard Time Blog Talk. I talk about Black African American male improvement, man. So I don't know what you were talking about, but I'm going to move from there. Listen to what I'm saying, guys. And Joe, listen. Pionki, listen. And it goes back to the crime rate in the Black African American community. Listen, watch the scenario closely. I'm standing out my side, and I have my gun in my hand, and I'm in a southern state. I have a right. They say protect my property. A woman or a man is beating up my car, busting up my car, and busting and trying to cause arson to my house. Put my window down. I'm watching this. People are telling me that when I see this, I should put a cap in their leg. Because they're touching my property. Remember, they're not touching the ultimate property, which is my body. Your physical body is the number one property because that's how you live. You can't get no other property without you living. So they're not touching me physically. But remember, the car has insurance on it. The house has insurance on it. But people are telling me right now that I have a right to put a cap in their butt. When they're not physically touching me, I'm just saying, if that is the consciousness, please, how can you criticize my Black community with the murder rate? Because they're killing over petty material things or petty quarrels. To me, that's petty to shoot somebody in the leg and because I got insurance on everything. Or I can call the police and get them locked up. They're not touching me physically. Remember the scenario. There's a difference between someone trying to physically touch a prison ball, but what he said, he's coming on the scene with a loaded gun to protect someone's property, not their body like someone's killing me, protect a business storefront, a physical property or material thing that's not him. That's the question that I was talking to you guys about, and I'm saying even if the Constitution is now, you can be a business owner, but if they don't try to come and rob you with a gun or they don't try to physically rob you, what are you going to do? If they run out of the store, if they bust you, be damaged, and they run out of the store, can you chase them down and shoot them? No, you can't, Joe. And, Joe, when you gave the scenario, you tried to mix it up like the person was going to attack you. No, stay focused. They're only damaging physical property that's not you, material things that man made. That can be replaced, that can be rebuilt, but you're going to end their life. That's all I'm saying, and that should be a controversial topic, because if not, you're going to talk about a lot of people who do things and murders in a lot of the community. They do it over what? Money, physical property, someone stepped in on my shoe, he hit a car, road rage, accident. People are crazy or going over things that they can replace by taking people's lives. So remember what you guys are saying. You may be legally right, but think about it. That's all. That's the point that I was trying to make, Mr. Talk.
You know what? You know what? I got that. However, I'm you're next, Shabaka. I just got to get this in there. You know what?
Yes.
Now what you're arguing, Offex, are morals versus law. Okay, and law is going to win every time, dude. I understand what you're saying, and that's like telling a police officer when they shooting at somebody running away, shoot them in the knee, shoot them in the hand, and not the gun out the hand, you know. And you being military, me being military, anytime we went to the range, were we ever taught to shoot anybody in the leg or the hand? No, stand a man.
No, but we would never. No. Right, but we never taught them to shoot them if they're hitting physical property. No, you're missing the point. He went to God's property.
Yeah, no. Property. It is your property. You have worked hard for it, and whatever you decide, if somebody breaking into your property, you have the right to defend it. Now, remember a couple of shows ago, I talked about choices. Now, that's a choice you're going to have to make. You know, if you want to go ahead and say, okay, I got insurance, they can do it, depending on what they're doing, or, you know, that's fine, that's fine. And then you got the other scope where somebody say, they bust in here, I'm putting a cap in them. You know, i.e., wait a minute, here's a good example, i.e., January 6th, when that girl broke into the Capitol and she was trying to get in the chambers and that security guard shot her. Remember that?
Okay, but
she was trying to come through a window, right? She wasn't trying to threaten nobody because there wasn't nobody there but the guards.
No. First of all, they were saying somebody. They were yelling to kill somebody, and she was, and he had a physical threat. They were going to physically hurt somebody. They had mocked all the things out there. But I'm just saying, Mr. Talk.
Okay,
you know,
so how?
I agree with you.
But women. But how do we know that? How do we know that?
But see, Mr. Talk, she was just coming through the window.
No, listen. No. How do we know that? Only thing we know is she was coming through that window, and her boy put some caps in, all right? Under the thought process that he was protecting himself and the building, which he was sworn to do, right?
Right.
Okay,
but
then.
Somewhere in the law that you can use more force when something happens, there's something called in the law. When someone does commit a crime to you, like smack you in your face, and then you say you defended yourself by stabbing them in their face and they die, they're going to say, well, yes, the person shouldn't have hit you, but you shouldn't have went that route. What I'm saying is, fine, you can have that. But when you apply what you're saying to a lot of other elements, and I'm not saying if someone breaks into your house, you don't defend it. That's something totally different. Because you don't know what they're going to do, come and kill you or nothing. I'm saying if you're on the outside and a business owner see protesters beating up, they're out of the store and they're beating up and damaging their property, someone says, well, I have a right to put a cap in their head. I'm just saying when someone has road rage, don't just say that man, because someone messes up their property. Listen to what you're saying. Someone damaged your property and you got mad enough, you did get mad, and you felt like you had to put a bullet in their head. That's what it comes down to, what you're saying, by law. And I'm saying if that's by law, fine. But you can replace it and you got insurance on it. They're not physically touching your body. They're not breaking in your house in the middle of the night and you got to put a cap in their head. So that's what Rittenhouse said. He was going there with a gun, waiting for people to bust people's property. And if they were to bust somebody's property, what he's going to do? Come here. Come here, grab the person up with a loaded gun. The citizens, the mobsters, the rowdies are going to say, get off of me. What are you going to shoot me for? See, this is what I'm saying.
I already got
and the police is not
okay.
That.
Okay.
That's all right.
Well, the prosecutor didn't prove that. So you talking about intent, but prosecution didn't do that. But go ahead, Shabaka. I promise you. Well, before you start, all right, we got 9 minutes left. We're going over a little bit. So if you're not on the phone lines, you need to get here 347-838-8622. If not, hey, you can catch the rest of the show in the archives later on this afternoon. All right, you have the floor, Shabaka.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, first place, when it comes to the police, okay, you know, I kind of like, got mixed emotions on that. As you stated, is that, you know, all of us have been trained in weapons. Of course, you go for dead center mass. But when you got those who put on that badge, man, and they would have what they would call the Wyatt Earp syndrome, and I'm sitting out here in the middle of Arizona where Wyatt Earp did his thing down in a place called Tombstone. They have this notion to play God. They violate people's rights. The Los Angeles Police Department is notorious for it. That's why they had the party there in 1992, is because when you beat a man 52 times with a baton and you hit him with a taser 5 times, you're not trying to make an arrest. You know, that's attempted murder. And the guys weren't even charged with that. So quite naturally, of course, it was a miscarriage of justice in Los Angeles in 1992, and that's why they had the party that they did. Now, Wittenhouse is, like I said, as you had pointed out, that he was protecting, you know, or called himself to protect some of his relatives' property, which were auto lots, right? But I'm of the opinion, repeat, of the opinion, is that Wittenhouse was going out there with bravado. He's young, and he had wanted to go out there and kill an NJR, and that's the bottom line of it. But it just so happened that these other individuals got in his way on his way to that mission is because Hollywood projects this negative image of us, of black males particularly. They have shattered the black family unit. This is why they have taken the black male up out of the household. This is why you got a lot of our young men who are coming up effeminized. You got Billy Porter wearing dresses there in Hollywood. And then you got these transgenders talking about that they're women. No, you're not a woman because you cannot menstruate, you cannot ovulate, and you cannot bear children. You are a mutilated male, and I've been suspended off of Facebook for saying that, and I welcome the suspension. It's because that just means that we're getting somewhere. So therefore, what you've got to do is re-strengthen the black family unit. We also have got to strengthen black business where we become economically self-sufficient. And these other groups, they can go out there and hold their own testicles, man, because we went out there in the civil rights movement, got busted upside the head, got hit with fire hoses and what have you, and all these other groups are benefiting off of our suffrage, and they look at us as less than human. This is the American ethos of how they look at black people, you see. And I hate to say, down in the state of Georgia, them SOBs are going to walk. I hope, believe me, I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong. But based on the history of this country in regard to black males in particular, they're going to sit up there and acquit those dudes or declare a mistrial.
Hmm. Ooh, that wouldn't be a good thing in Georgia. All right. Joe, thanks, Chewbacca. That was great.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Joe.
Okay.
So what you got for me?
Well, all right. Look, if you got a car lot, you got about, let's say, a couple hundred cars in the lot. Now, you've got people coming over, let's say 5 or 6, teenagers, drunk, doesn't matter who they are. They start busting out the windshields. Now, according to all facts, and I guess, to be fair to him, other people like him, they would say, oh, no, look, they're not going to invade the office. They're trying to hurt you. They're not going to your house. Let them bust up the windshields. Tell them to stop. If they don't stop, call the police. But as P. Ross stated, if you're in a community where you've only got about 2 cops, not going to make a difference. And even if you have a community which is so-called cops proportional to the population, it's still not going to do any good because they're not going to get there until about 15 minutes later, after the crime has been done. So, according to the particular people who believe no violence unless you are being attacked, your body or your home, and you have to be inside the home, then you're going to go out there in the parking lot and you're going to say, stop, and they're going to say, no. So, what are you going to do? Nothing? No. You're going to take a gun. You're going to say, get off my property first. They're going to say, F you, and then I shoot. That sends a message, do not come back. I have the right to protect my property. I have the right to protect my livelihood. And even if it's not my livelihood, these people will come back with reinforcements and probably do more damage. Those people who disagree with me, I consider you nuts, not just all facts, anybody. Because if you don't think that's not what's going to happen, you are nuts. If you allow criminals to remain criminals, they will up their behavior. I'm not talking about upgrading. I'm talking about increasing their violence against victims. So I'm done for that. That's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Sure. All right. Anybody else? Anyone else? All right.
So.
Where no one wants to come out. Oh, you closing argument?
Go ahead. What you got to say, Alfax?
Well, Joe brings up a good point. Remember, listen to what he does. He has a half an hour to think about it, and he says, listen to what he puts in. He says, a town with no holy police. So he's trying to, like, up the community, like the community has no choice. But I agree with Joe. But, Joe, people who think just like you, if you ever question yourself about why black African-American males are killing each other in the inner cities and through the decades, it's just not about the other things that help them get to that point. But it's the mentality that you have. If somebody touches something of mine, I am going to kill for it. If it's a block, if it's my girl, if it's my money, if you stepped on my Jordans at a club and you didn't say excuse me to write to my property, they have that mentality too. See, you have, if you apply your mentality to poor black African in a group of people, they're going to kill each other, Joe. See, you can apply, I have to say this real quick, and I have to say this, Joe, because we bring up trouble black community. Your community, you can have that mentality because you're abundant in this society and you're well off. So you can have that attitude. But when you bring that attitude and mentality to a poor group of people, the descendants of slaves that's struggling, and it's not what you know, it's who you know, and we're not even talking about racism. I ain't even thinking about racism, but what you know. When you apply that, then you have a crime rate and you have a young man that says, if you touch my stuff, I'm going to blow your head off. And the thing that he's talking about that someone may have did wrong, it can be replaced. Money can always be replaced. That store can always be rebuilt. Your house can always be rebuilt. But lives can't. Now, but we're talking about in critical situations. And I'm just saying, Joe, if a guy that you love and love winds up assaulting a girl because she physically touches his property, I guess you're going to be okay with it, Joe. Can you come on the public and air and tell a story about a guy, about a
okay.
man physically doing something to a male or female just because they damaged their property that they had insurance for? You're not going to defend that because you don't want to apply this concept to other things and situations in life. Everything is situational, Joe. That's why you can't apply your quote-unquote law and your logic in every situation, because think about it. We'll have anarchy if we really apply what you say. If someone damaged my property, I got a right to put a bullet in their head.
Okay. All right. So I would think in the black community it would be even more prevalent to have that kind of mindset I have, because if you've got property and you've got people coming over there to try to burn down the property or damage the property, I would think it would behoove black communities to shoot the people who are looting and destroying. Because if whites have all this abundance and blacks don't, then they have something more to lose and they have something better to protect. Now, getting back to your assumption that if somebody steps on my sneakers, that I have the right. I don't have the right to kill it, because that's called unreasonable force. You only have the right to use reasonable force. And there have been white people who have gone to jail because they disobeyed and crossed over that law. But if you think that, if you have property that you've worked for, and if you think that, people aren't going to come back once you let them out of the parking lot to do more damage. Also, I want to address, they have insurance. They can be replaced. Sure. Now, the people are going to, once I replace the cars, got insurance, people come back, burn it down again, I won't have insurance. Just like there's no insurance against so-called protests.
Well, you move somewhere else, and the community is going to be sucked, Joe.
Yeah, but well, still, I'm not. It's not up to me.
A reasonable
as,
force, for
Joe.
Remember,
I mean,
you're
Joe.
Saying that
all facts.
Right. Busting out
all
someone's
facts.
Business.
All facts.
Is putting a bullet in the
all
head. It's still
facts.
Reasonable force.
All right. All right. All right. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. You know
wow.
what?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, this is just going. This just going. No.
Someone fucked up my McDonald's.
Look,
and
look, I'm going to look, look,
wow.
Let me go and tell you like this. Okay, if you own a weapon and you have property, learn the laws of your state. That way you don't have to worry about it. You're covered. Bingo! We always say you need to learn the law. So that's one way of doing it. You know, you can't think. They tell you ignorance of the law is no excuse. So to take care of yourself and make it better, do it like that. See how easy that was?
Oh, real good there, Eric.
Please don't think you're going to get away with murder. If your girlfriend busts out your car window, please don't think like Joe and them. Please read the law. And since they damaged my property,
the problem is you don't listen to me.
Don't go in there.
You don't listen to what I
said.
You do not.
Please don't go, bro. Please don't.
And I'm
going to
do what I've done in the past. I'm just going to let you talk and say you win.
But I'm just saying, real quick, with all the footage that you were putting away, you're saying if a Korean person would came out and saw those black people riding butt up those bars, and a Korean person would have shot and boom one of those black people out, you think that he would have got off and all of America should have been on the side of the Koreans? That was not going to go, Joe.
That's not what I said,
wow.
And that's your assumption.
No, you're
crossing over from a particular situation.
Yeah. Hold on,
political.
Michael,
that's what you said.
Hold on. Because you're getting a whole lot of stuff putting in one basket and saying, this is what it's going to be like, this is what it's going to be. That, yeah, no.
No, it's scenario-wise. In the law, you can give me scenarios. All those black men burning
all facts,
those
I got it.
Korean
I got the fact you say you can't.
And the Korean
you don't,
guy would have
don't want
to go out one of those black guys that's burned it out. You think America would have said, let that guy go. No, Joe. And you probably would have got on the show and said, no, that guy should have did it. He should have got out of that neighborhood. He knew what those guys were doing.
Here we go. Okay. Well, he's gone now too. Okay. It's amazing. They get to rambling, then they got to go. What kind of mess is that? Okay. Anyway, well, glad to see All Facts is back. I guess he can't promote his show anymore because he gone. It's late, so we're not gonna do the topic on abortion. I just say that for next week because we are going to talk about that, and it's the human cost of being denied an abortion. So gonna do your research, and because we're going to be rocking with that one next week, I'm sure we are.
Yeah.
It should be very interesting, and I hope I do have ladies call in with their points of view as well, which may surprise some of y'all. But since that is it and everybody ran away, you know, see, this is what. Okay, I'll wait. All right, so go ahead, P. Ross, with your last words.
Wow, I don't even know what to say now. That was a whole lot. That was a good show. But, you know, it was some valid points being brought out. And at the end of the day, the law is the law, and that's what they're going to adhere to. But as I said earlier, you know, as long as we can dehumanize people, whether they're black or white, because that's what they did to those people, bringing up their past, their criminal records and all of that. And the defendant had the jury's empathy. He had the jury's empathy because of his age, you know, and because of the fact that the prosecutors could not prove his intent other than he was going down there to do exactly what he said to protect, you know, property. Nobody asked about his, you know, his relationship or his involvement or knowledge of Black Lives Matter or any of that. Nobody asked, and he stated, you know, he's not a racist and all of this. Well, what do most racists say? I'm not a racist. That's what they're gonna say. You know, 46 was always talking about, you know, Trump was always talking about. He wasn't a racist. But the things that he said, the things that he did, his actions proved otherwise. See, and that's what nobody gets to. You know, your actions prove your intent. See, so at the end of the day, you know, the justice system and the judge and everybody swayed the jury in the direction that they needed it to go in. I still think it was basically because a lot of it, and I think a lot of the people that was behind him was NRA, you know, and those people who are so afraid that their gun laws going to be taken away from them, those people to say, don't tread on me, you'll move my gun from my cold, dead hands, you know, those people. You know, whether they had an interest in the case or not, it's all about them. It's all about their views. It's all about their ideology and how they think. And as long as people think like that, these kind of things in this country are going to continue to happen. As long as they think people of color are less than the Caucasian race, the Aryan race, or whatever they want to define themselves as, even evangelical, you know, as long as they think that they have the power, not only that they think they have the power, because they do have that power. And as long as they can wield that power in their benefit, nothing is ever going to change, because they will never see other people as equal to them. And that's the issue. And I don't understand how anybody, evangelicals, anybody else who say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can demean another human being, you are a liar. And even the Bible says that. You can't say that you love God and you don't love your brother, who you see every day, and God whom you have not seen. You are a liar. Let's just face it. Let's stop trying to put Jesus Christ and everything else in the midst of our sin, of our iniquities, and trying to justify that just because you are so-called Christian. That's a lie. See, and this country, and I don't care who like it or who don't like it, you know, I believe it's the modern-day Babylon, because they have fallen so far away from what the Bible says about who we are to be to each other. And until we get back to that, because I never think that this country was ever there. It was just a whitewash, you know, to make it seem like these things were important to us. But it's only important to us when we're the right color. Everybody else, like we used to say back in the day, if you white, you right. If you black, get back. And that still exists today, regardless of what people want to say, regardless how they want to see it, how they want to, you know, how they want to propagandize it. Because if it was anybody else out there marching other than Black Lives Matter, I truly believe these things would not have occurred. They weren't worried about protecting their property. It wouldn't have even been a concern. But the thing is, people don't realize that they're agitators put in the midst of the crowd who are not even black, who are not even people of color, who are their own race, tearing up their own property, you know, just to incite violence. Because the goal, one of the goals of the Trump administration, I don't care who believe it, who don't believe it, was to incite a race riot. That didn't work, so they're trying to get it by any way necessary. So the more they can dehumanize an entire population and to get them in fighting within themselves, or others coming against them by dehumanizing them and making them seem less than, they still accomplish their goal. People, when you're talking about staying woke, no, you just need to open your eyes. Yeah, you can be woke and still be blind as hell. No, you need to educate yourself and take care of what's yours, and stop allowing media, Facebook, Fox, everybody else who has an opinion of who you are, rather than you looking in the mirror and seeing who you are yourself and what your own values were and what your own values are, what they're trying to grow with the crowd. Now, once we stop that, then maybe this will be a better country. That's it.
All right. That was a lot. Whoa, but it's all good points, though. Good points. I can't argue with them. They were good points. All right. Thank you, Ross. We'll be talking to you later.
All right. Come on, Joe. Give me something good going out.
Well, everybody, enjoy the rest of the week. Have a happy Thanksgiving. You know me. I'm a person of short words when it comes to this particular time of the show. So everybody, just stay safe, and I guess keep on talking as long as people don't talk over each other and give each other a chance to talk, present their views. That's a good thing. So, Eric, take care of yourself. You be safe. Try to bowl 300 this year. Okay.
Okay, right.
And same thing with P. Ross and all the other guests on the show and everybody else that I don't know, all the other 7 billion people in the world. We all have rights regardless of what the laws say, regardless of whatever the constitutions are. And, you know, I just wish people well. Peace out. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Joe said peace out. Oh, yeah, Joe. Thank you for staying awake today. I appreciate it.
Well, oh, yeah. Just because I did it once or twice. Thanks.
Okay, right. If I was to go back and search all the shows, I'm sure I'd find more than twice. But okay.
Really? I sleep that
much? Yes. Oh, yes, wow. You do.
Oh, okay.
But all right. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
See you next week. Oh, man. All right, y'all. Great conversation, and I think, as I said before, conversation, that's the biggest thing to get it started. But any change, it has to start with conversation. Yeah, everybody got their different points of view, and that's great. That's how you come up with different ideas. That's how you come up with better ideas. But in order to do that, you have to listen first. You have to listen. You know, yeah, we are predetermined to our thoughts and what we think and what we think is right. But sometimes you have to sit back and say, what if? What if what Pianki said really is true? You know, how can we change that to make it better incorporate with mine or vice versa? You know, what if P. Ross and Joe had a conversation and they realized they're closer to thinking the same, just a little fundamental things that need to be changed? It all starts with a conversation and listening. Listening. Yeah, no argument, no trying to prove who's right, who's wrong. Talking and listening. P. Ross is right. You know, that's the only way it's going to get better. And as I was saying, you know, as far as the judge, yeah, he did some unorthodox things. Yeah, he, you know, did some things that make you shake your head. But the final line was he did what I say about all the time. He wasn't trying to be on the Republican side. He wasn't trying to be on the Democratic side. He was just doing what he thought was right. And in hindsight, if you look at it, what he did made a lot of sense. But that's my opinion anyway, okay? I mean, everybody else had their takes on it. And, yeah. Everybody has points, but, you know, I feel you have to look at the whole picture and everything will be all right. Okay, so we're going to get out of here. We'll next Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. Remember, keep smiling. Show appreciation. Forgive with open heart, but make sure you forgive yourself first. And the biggest, best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you laugh at yourself, everything else is gravy. You know, and as we was talking, about what going on. I was trying to sit here and think about what song I was going to play to going out. And the more I scrolled down, I couldn't find anything until one popped up at me. And we're going to go with Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror, because you can't change nothing unless you change yourself first. I'm out of here, y'all. Y'all have a great week. See ya.
Make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat?
shots, I was a ticket to the dark side. Somewhere inside my childhood when it's my heart die. And even though we both came from the same places, the money and the fame made us all change places. I couldn't beat through the misery that came to pass. The hard times make a true friend afraid to ask. I promise you, but you can run to me when you need, and I never leave, honestly. Someone to believe in, as you can see, it's a small thing to a truth. What could I do? Real homies help you get through. And coming new, he'd do the same thing if he could. Cause in the hood, true homies make you feel good. And half the time, he'd be acting up, call the cops. Bring a piece to the peace that was on my block. And never stopped when my mama asked me, will I change? Tell you, yeah, but it's clear always be the same. You gotta make a change.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.